Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. Hello, my wonderful, fantastic audience. Oh, apparently Muddy left the room. He's probably going to bring a toy that makes a lot of noise. His contribution to our podcasting. Okay, so today I want to talk about perimenopause and menopause and sexual arousal and horniness and libido and all things that are like no one really wants to talk about. So in case you haven't heard, I currently have started perimenopause and it's just really not going very well for me all the way around, and I will give an update on those things when I have more answers, because right now we just have a lot of questions and not a lot of answers. So once I get more answers, then I'll do an update on the choice of being in perimenopause. But anyways, one thing I do want to talk about, though, is about arousal and horniness and sexual arousal. And I know in the past I have talked about these topics, but I've talked about it more from more of a coaching and therapeutic perspective versus my own perspective, because I wasn't there yet. But now we're in it. So now we get to talk about firsthand experience, which is my favorite. So, you know, I know that one of the side effects, or as we call it, you know, symptoms of perimenopause and menopause, is a drop in libido, a drop in sexual arousal, a drop in our horniness. Okay, hold on. I'm going to pause this because the dog is going to make a disruption. So please hold. I'll be right back. Okay, Muddy's been banished from the podcasting room. No more distractions. Okay. So the libido drops because hormonally things are all out of whack. And, you know, as I want to remind everybody that our arousal response, our horniness, our sex drive, our libidos are driven by like three different aspects. We have the physical, which is your hormonal. We have the psychological, which is your brain. And then we have the energetic, which is like the spiritual, more energetic aspect of, you know, that's where tantra and lots of sacred sexual practices come in, and you know, understanding that sexual energy is the same thing as chi, your life force energy. So those are the three things that make up everybody's arousal response and how horny you are, how aroused you are, when you're aroused, how you're aroused. So for most people, the first two seem to be the most predominant, I've noticed over the years of, you know, over the last 20 years of working with people and their sexuality. There's those, the first two are tend to have the most effect for most people. And so when we start to go through perimenopause, which perimenopause is basically the terminology of before you go into menopause, and technically menopause is measured by when you haven't had your menstrual cycle for a year. But the whole thing is just menopause. Your body's changing, it's shifting, it's not producing hormones, like everything is changing, right? Your body's getting ready for that. You're not going to be a baby making machine anymore, and you're going into the next phase of your life. So when the hormones get all wackadoodle and are changing and are being stopped being produced and or flooding your system or doing all these things, it's affecting your arousal response to from either moments of like super increased arousal to moments of like nothing. It's like crickets. Crick, 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 crick. Now, and this is my own, like, okay, you don't know until you're in it, right? You can understand theoretically, but until you're in it, I don't think you really get it. And so so for me, my standard, my low, what's my average arousal response is very high. I'm a, my life, for most of my life, I've been, pretty much horny all the time. It's a mattering of the only times that I wasn't horny if I was like extremely sick. And even then, I've been known to be like, hey, I'm just gonna lay here and let's have some sexy time and let's do it really gentle so I don't vomit. Or, okay, I don't seem to be puking right now. Sure, we'll have oral sex. I'll give you a blowjob. Right? So just to give you like the baseline here of my experience since I've been 13 years old, I would say even younger, but let's just say 13. Since I've been 13 years old, I've been a horn dog or horny like a goat, okay? And now I got nothing. I'm like, it's like for the first time ever for me, I'm like, eh, sex, whatever. I'm not interested. Sex time, whatever. Do we have to? And for me, both being, my sexy arousal state, plus also being a, a sex expert and the importance of knowing how important it is to have physical contact with your partner or partners to maintain connection, to maintain intimacy, to explore vulnerability, to keep your relationship fresh, to continue to enjoy each other. Like it's, I deeply believe the importance of having not only a sexual relationship with others, but also with yourself and how important that is. Okay. So for me to be like, meh, I'm like, fuck, this shit's real. This shit has just got real. I'm like, oh, okay. That's not okay. It's not okay. Which means that I have to choose it. I have to choose to engage the, so the hormonal, it's gone flatline. Me. Which means, luckily, I can do the other two, all right? Psychological and energetic, which means I have to choose it. It's not just happening, where before it's just happening. It's like breathing. I'm breathing. I'm horny. Oh, that was a nice breeze. Oh, I had a little orgasm. Oh, the sun's shining. Oh, that feels good. I'm gonna have a little orgasm. To now, it's like, oh, that's a nice breeze. But there's no, unless I choose it, there's no, oops, I had an accidental orgasm. which is what my life used to look like, is I was constantly always oopsie, always having accidental orgasms. And now, if the sun feels nice on my skin, I'm like, oh, that feels really nice, and it feels good, and it feels good in my heart and my soul, and it brings me joy and it brings me happiness. But it doesn't turn over to, oops, we had an orgasm. Which means that I have to then make a conscious choice in that moment to be like, right, remember, sunshine feels good, happiness is great. Now let's do some Kegels, which is, squeeze your genitals to get them part of the party, right? And then, okay, is that helping? And sometimes it'll be like, oh, right, there it is. Okay, that's all I needed to do was just to activate my vagina. And be like, oh, right, we remember, like, joy, sunshine, happiness, orgasm, they all live together, even though hormonally that's not so happening. So now I have to, like, it's almost like I have to make new neural pathways, and I have to make new, yeah, that's what it is. I'm making new neural pathways because basically the hormones that create used to create those pathways have gone on vacation. All right. So, I have to make a choice. Now, why would I make a choice? If it's just like, eh, seems like a lot of work. Well, back to what I was saying before, sexuality and being alive and pleasure, and not just joy pleasure, but sexual pleasure is an incredibly important part of life, of being alive, of feeling. Being present, being in my body, in the helping with mood stabilizer, which right now I need all the mood stabilizing tricks that I can get at the moment, because another joyful thing of perimenopause and menopause is that you are like, I don't want to say this, how do I say this? Very emotionally unregulated. And so I need all to use all the tools at my disposal to emotionally regulate. So where was I? Oh yes, okay. So I have to choose it. And then I have to, so I have alarms on my phone that says horny time that randomly go off throughout the day to also remind me, right. We're choosing to be sexy. We're choosing to find some sexiness. Let's do something. So we do some Kegels. I can do some rapid breathing. I can, like, touch my nipples. I'm like, oh, that feels good. But even touching my nipples, which I'm going to keep my hands. See my hands? You're like, oh, there Gaia goes. Even touching my nipples or stimulus from a partner doesn't fire the same way as it used to. And I think this is important part. Like, I want to talk about, like, the realness of this is like, my partner isn't doing anything different. My partner's always known how to, tweak my nipples in the way that my nipples like to be tweaked. And now it's like, eh, everything's kind of like, when it comes to like horniness, it's kind of like, there's this like fog of like, eh, that's okay. Feels nice. Certainly not getting me off. Not like, oh my God, which is, screaming and throwing things and biting and clawing and all the things that used to happen. So there's this moment when my partner is stimulating my body in a way that would normally get an orgasmic response. There's a couple of things that I've had to do, right? First, I needed to have a conversation with my lovers and lovers, and said, like, this is what's going on, so that they don't internalize it. So they're not like, well, why are you like, you used to be a big, cummy, wet mess all over the place, and now you're like, that feels nice. So we want to be honest. So I had to be honest with everybody, about what's going on. That was the first part. So that they didn't internalize it and then stop, stop reaching out, stopped touching me, stopped doing all the things because it wasn't getting the response that they typically would get from me. So that was number one. Well, I guess technically number one, I had to not be in denial. Number two is having a conversation with the people that this is going to affect. And three, I have to consciously choose it. So again, I keep saying consciously choose it because it is a conscious choice. What I mean when I say that is like, okay, so, we talked about the sun that normally would give me an orgasm. Now it's like, oh, the sun is really nice. And then I have to say, all right, but we can also be orgasmic if we allow it. We can allow it to build. Let's do a little Kegels. Let's do a little bit of rapid breathing, which mimics, rapid breathing mimics orgasmic response. So it kind of fakes your body into thinking that you're like horny. So this goes the same with when I'm with my partner or partners, is my lovers, is to basically say it's to myself. I'm like, okay, oh, that feels nice. And instead of waiting for the next, it building naturally and building on its own and building until I have an orgasmic release, now it's like, eh. And then I have to choose, oh, right. Let's drop into it feels really good. It's really nice to be touched. I feel really close. I feel really wanted. I'm feeling very sexy. So now I'm engaging my brain. All right. So my brain's being engaged in the choosing. And then I'll do some, I will speed up my breath or be more breathy. So I'm like, which again, my body's like, oh, right, that thing that you love doing. So I will, but I, it's not faking it, it's just choosing it. It's like I have to go to this length to engage it. Maybe do some Kegels. And then I might need to add some extra stimulus. Whether that's with a vibrator or some more intense stimulus, might have to add some more extreme, maybe some role play, some kinky stuff. But I need an increase of stimulus, both physically and psychologically and energetically, to engage the whole thing so that afterwards I was like, ha. Ah, have some good sex time. I miss And so you're like, wow, that seems like a lot of work. Yeah, it is because it's new for me. All right. Once I figure it out, once I figure it out, then it won't be so much work because then I'll have created some new neural pathways and those become the new neural pathways. But right now it is new and there is a lot of work and it's important to do. For me, okay, this is again, for me, being a sexual being is incredibly important to me on an emotional level, on a psychological level, even on a physical level. Having orgasms release, again, dopamine, oxytocin, all sorts of wonderful flooding your body with wonderful mood stabilizer biochemicals. Like this is very, very important for pain management for me, sleeping, again, emotional stability and closeness and connection. That's part of my love language. I happen to be one of those people that my love language is, one of my love languages is definitely touch. Being touched, touching others goes always consensually, though, very important. I don't go around touching people randomly. Right. So, yeah. So I think what I've noticed is that when, vagina owners, because it's not just women, it's if you own a vagina, your body chemically is going to go through this process. Or, if you've until you, whether you're in perimenopause or you get a hysterectomy and that you and you lose your ovaries, so your hormones are changing, right? So anyways, when you have this going on for you, depending on how much of a priority and how sexy and sex was for you previously into going into this phase, will depend on how much you work at it. Right. So for me, it was a crucial part of my well-being. So it being gone, I'm like, oh, okay, I got to figure this out. There's things like, I mean, hormone replacement therapies can help. Like, there's a bunch of other stuff that can help you, you know, with the dealing with the hormonal side of your libido. But if you're not able to, and you haven't been able to get those that relief, here's what you know my suggestions are. It's like, you're gonna have to choose it. You're gonna have to make it a priority. You want to tell your partners that this is what's going on. If you happen to have been the initiator, typically, you may want to either A, set an alarm to be like, all right, go initiate sex time. Or you may ask your partner if they can start initiating. That one is often not as good, because if the other part, typically, when you've been in a relationship with somebody, the dynamics, the power dynamics of like who takes initiative is pretty standard in the beginning. Like, what you create in the beginning kind of stays through the whole relationship. And one of the biggest problems that I see with couples is that the partner that always takes initiative all of a sudden decides that they don't want to take initiative anymore, and they want their partner to take initiative, but their partner, it doesn't know how to take initiative, have to learn how to take. There's a lot of stuff. It's not their nature. If it was their nature, they would already take initiative. Right. So I recommend you can ask for, if you are the instigator, you can ask for somebody to help with this process. They may be able to, they may not, they may need support to learn how to. They can, and you know, and this is a great time to reach out to me so I can help support you guys. The other option, again, is, like I said, you need to set your own alarms and continue to take initiative, because that's what's norm, the norm in your relationship. And, you know, often during this period of time, because there's no sex drive, there's no libido, then no one's using it. It's not being, you know, the saying, use it or lose it. It's true. Atrophy, vaginal atrophy, dryness, there's all of that aspect, right? Of like, okay, now lube is your friend. It has nothing to do with your arousal levels. It has to do with your hormones. You know, you want to ramp up your Kegels so that you're always giving lots of circulation, building lots of circulation to the genitals, so that there's lots of blood flow. It prevents the skinning, you know, helps with, you know, the thinning of the membranes in the vaginal canal, hormone replacement creams, lubes that have estrogen and progestin in it to keep everything juicy and functioning. But then comes other complications, like, now you got to fight the right balance. And sometimes there screws with the eco balance of the ecosystem of the vag. And then you're dealing with other issues like vaginosis and yeast infections and, you know, funky smells and all sorts of other things. So again, this time of life. So I understand why a lot of vagina owners are like, fuck it. If it wasn't important before, why am I going to do all this work now? And I think it's a personal choice. I think it is a personal choice. I mean, for me, it's a no-brainer. This and sweating are my two most irritating side effects. All right, maybe crying over shit that shouldn't be cried over. But for me, it is important. It's important for my physical, like I've said, my physical, emotional, psychological relationship wellness with myself and with the people in my life. So, it's I for me it's important. If you're like maybe it's important, maybe it's not important, I'm not sure if I want to do all of that work, I would at least make sure that you're doing enough to keep your vagina juicy. Juicy in the sense that it's like no, you're not having thinning of the walls and you're not having atrophy, so that after everything stabilizes, you may end up finding that you have figured out how to have a new norm of your sexual arousal. You may find that during the phase of perimenopause and menopause, you may change your relationships. Your relationships may change, and you may end up finding a new relationship where you do want to explore sex time with that person. Which means that you want to keep it. That can be doing things like your Kegels, masturbation, using penetrative toys so that, the vagina is still used to stretching. So those are important pieces, so that if you ever choose to, the parts work. And then here's the other side of that, because I want everybody to have lots of options. You're like, shit, I haven't been doing that. I didn't do that. Now I'm in the stage where it's not working as well. Well, there's more to sexy time than just vaginal penetration. There's so many other ways to have pleasure, to have orgasms, explore. There's lots of possibilities. So even if that has happened, or you're in the process of it happening, or you're like, ah, and then later on you're like, oh, I changed my mind because circumstances have changed. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world if we can't put something inside your vagina. And there's lots of things that can help, and you can, retrain it, and there's lots of stuff that can be done. There's supplements, there's lubes, there's toys, there's dilators, there's yoni massages, there's, plenty of ways to help your vagina if we need to. There's oral sex, there's anal sex. There's kink with 1,000 different activities and then some. So it's not the end of the world. Okay. So the moral of the story is that the next phase of life is a little challenging when it comes to the hormones, and a little challenging when it comes to our arousal response. And that shit's real. It's not just if you weren't really horny and now you're not horny. You can go from being super horny girl and goddess and sex goddess to all of a sudden you're like, eh, who cares? It's true. I didn't think it was really true. Now I'm in it. I'm like, oh, it's true. So I wanna honor and acknowledge for all those vagina owners who were like, you don't understand. You're right. I didn't understand. I didn't. I didn't truly understand. I understood on a theory level, but I did not truly understand. Now I'm there. Now I'm getting it. And solidarity. Let's figure it all out together, vagina owners. Anybody who happens to be in a relationship with a vagina owner, I'm going to say, good luck. Make sure you get lots of support. You need lots of support. I've had lots of conversations over the years with partners that were ready to leave, kill, murder. The people in their lives that were going through menopause, perimenopause, menopause, the whole menopausal process. So make sure that you have support for anybody who's listening that's not going through this. And it's important if you're going through it to like acknowledge it doesn't give you. Okay, so I'm going to say this as tactfully as I possibly can, okay? And from as much love as I possibly can. Just because all of what's happening inside you is causing all sorts of problems, rage, pain, sleeplessness, emotional unregulation, lack of, libido, like we were just talking about. I'll get into some of the other things as I get more answers and understanding better. And so I have some like solutions to bring to the table, not just the problems. That it doesn't justify you being an asshole. That's as nice as I can put it. All right. Meaning that just because you're going through all this, and it's important that you understand that you're going through all this. And like another piece of that, like how hard your menstruation was is gonna like ramp up 100 times more while you're going through this process. It's not okay to use that as a reason to lash out, to be an asshole. It's important that you do what you can to remove yourself, to not become abusive, to not rage out at everybody, to not lose your shit everywhere, it's important. Yes, you are feeling those things. Yes, it's justified within yourself. Your tolerance, your patience, your sleep, all things have been affected. And so you aren't the lovely being that you once upon a time were, and now you feel like an angry ball of angriness. All right. And sadness. And that means that you need to figure out supports, whether it's going and having close friends where you can talk about these things. You can have some venting sessions with your friends, that you're not losing your shit on your kids, on your partners, on your coworkers, on your employees, on, the poor person at the grocery store. I've seen really Zen, got their shit handled emotionally, start losing it all over the place. Okay. So it's and you feel it, and it's so big, and it's so real, and it's so intense, which means that you need to figure out how to manage it, whether that's with medications, therapy, coaching, removing yourself from situations, problem solving, collaborative problem solving to, remove the agitators while you're learning how to like regulate, getting supplements. You need to be working on it. And give the people in your life a lot of space and allow them to have space. Allow them to be like, walk into the room and be like, and they'll be like, how are you? And you're like, and they're like, okay, I love you. I'm going to go away for the day. I'll see you later. And not internalize that. It's very important. I've been talking about like, how do we not take shit? How do we not take things personally? Don't internalize that. That's them loving you and loving themselves by removing themselves from the situation. Let them. It's good for, because eventually you will regulate. Okay. You'll eventually get through the shit show and you will regulate out and you will have a new state. You will be stable again and you will be able to handle life. And you want the people there. You want the people still there, the still that have aren't carrying all this trauma from you losing your shit and being abusive. You want them to not leave you. You want them to still be there and not have resentment or trauma. Okay, so all right, that's all I gotta say about this for now, anyways. Oh, sorry, I lied. Last tip. Laughter. Find laughter. Find laughter everywhere. Find laughter in the ridiculousness. Find embrace the ridiculousness. Embrace the silliness. Find ways to laugh. That will help to regulate, emotionally regulate you and biochemically regulate you. So laugh. Find funny videos. Have a whole list of things that when you're about ready to stab the world, that is like, okay, it's time for self-isolation and let's go find some fun things to laugh about and laugh. Ha ha ha. Makes everything better. You still may feel like crap, but you're at least laughing about it. Okay. All right. That's my last tip. Okay. Bye-bye. And good luck. And reach out. You need some, we can come up with strategies. We can come up with strategies that you're not alone. How do you navigate this? What are the tools? What are the tips? What's the, some resources? I can just hold your hand. I can just hold space while you have feelings and tell you it's going to be okay. And, reach out. The best way to reach me is at Guy Morissette. GuyaMorissette.com. Sorry. Oh, the other thing about perimenopause and menopause is you kind of have fogginess. You're not quite as with it. So, word recall, these kinds of things, they're a little slower. Okay. Love yous. Bye-bye. Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. Just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. Now, if you're like, oh, I really wonder what's in the extended version. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also, come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? I want to know because I'm a little bit of a voyeur. So I want to know what, how am I affecting you? So please, please, please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners, until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.